Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. In today's video, I want to talk about India. India has just announced that it is banning the export of all wheat. Now, historically, that wouldn't be big news because India hasn't been a net exporter. It's been using most of the wheat that it produces. However, because of the crisis that we're currently experiencing and the shortages that have started to appear in global supplies, mainly driven by the problems directly in Ukraine and Russia, who account for around about 30% of all of the wheat exports, India had started stepping into the market and had actually exported a significant amount of wheat in April. And it was expected that through the rest of 2022, India would continue supplying global markets and that that would balance off the shortages that we're now looking at. However, the Indian authorities have now announced that there is an outright ban. And that means that we don't have that supply coming into the international markets. And this is a major concern for a variety of reasons. So in this video, I'll go through exactly where we are right now with regards to wheat prices and why wheat is such an important food substance globally. We'll have a look at which countries are producing the most wheat and which countries are exporting, because there's a difference between the two metrics. We'll then have a look at exactly what India have announced and why they have announced this ban. We'll then have a look at the global forecasts for wheat production over the next 12 months, because there are some concerns now about whether or not there's going to be sufficient supplies. And then we'll talk about which countries have already started experiencing major problems because of what's happening with wheat prices and wheat shortages. And finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months and what the implications of these increases in prices and shortages in wheat are for the global food supply chain and what that means for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip through it and move on to the next. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find a link to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and YouTube Super Thanks feature. Russia's invasion of Ukraine started on the 24th of February, and there was an immediate impact on the price of wheat. Prior to the invasion, wheat was trading at around $750. However, following the invasion, it spiked above 1,000 and has remained at those levels ever since. So that means that over the last 2 months, we have seen a 50% increase in the global price of wheat. However, the situation is actually much worse than that. If we look at prices over the last 5 years, prior to the global COVID-19 pandemic, prices were trading at around about $500, which means that over the last 2 years, the price of wheat has more than doubled. And this is a major concern for global food security, because wheat is the most important basic food substance. It's used to produce flour, and flour is used to produce a variety of staple food items such as bread, pasta, noodles and couscous. And because wheat is used to produce these very basic items, the massive increase in prices that we've seen over the last 2 years, but particularly over the last 2 months, is having a disproportionate impact on the poorer people of the world, because they're spending the majority of their income, in some cases they're spending all of their income on food, and they're buying basic food items such as bread and pasta and noodles. And if you're living at or below the poverty line, you simply cannot afford a 50% increase in prices that we've seen over the last 2 months. So this is now causing major concern globally, and we are now looking at a world food crisis driven by these high prices and also potential shortages. Wheat is the most widely grown crop in the world, and there is a lot of it around. And a lot of commentators have stated that we don't have to be concerned because there's enough wheat being grown to feed everybody. If we look at the top 10 wheat producing countries, we can see that China and India are by far the largest. China produces over 130 million tons of wheat every year, and India is a close second, producing over 105 million tons. The next largest producers are Russia at around 85 million, the USA at around 50, and Canada at 35 million. Ukraine comes in at number 8 on the global production list with around 25 million tons a year. However, the amount of global production doesn't translate directly to the amount of wheat that's available in the international markets, because some of those producers are using all of the wheat for their own purposes. So historically, China and India have not been major exporters. They have been supplying all of the wheat that they grow directly to their own people. If we look at the list of the largest exporters of wheat, Russia is by far the biggest player and exports around 44 million tons of wheat per year, which means that they're exporting more than 50% of what they're producing. Canada is the world's next largest, and the 23 million tons that it exports represents around 65% of all the wheat grown. The USA ranks third on the list, exporting around 50% of all of the wheat grown. France comes in at number four. They export around 65%, as do Ukraine, which comes in at number five on the global export charts. And these five countries make up around two-thirds of all of the wheat that's available for export globally. So the fact that around a third of the global wheat exports come directly from Russia and Ukraine is why we are in a major crisis right now. At the start of the war, Ukraine initially announced an outright ban on the export of all food substances. Now that ban has started to be relaxed. However, the problems that Ukraine have are obviously the logistics of trying to keep the industry moving. Millions of the population of Ukraine have fled the country, so they've lost a large portion of their workforce. And a lot of the areas that produce grain in the east of the country is where the fighting is with Russia. The other major problem that Ukraine has is with regards to the logistics and the supply chain. Ukraine would normally export large volumes of wheat through its ports, but Russia has targeted the whole of the coastline of the country and has taken over the vast majority of it. And there are now reports that Odessa is also being targeted by Russia. So essentially, Ukraine does not have access to the Black Sea, and that means that it can't export all the volumes that it did. It is still trying to export some volumes through Romania, but clearly there are massive problems right now in terms of being able to actually load up all of those shipments and send them out the country. There's also major problems with regards to the actual tending of the crops, because a lot of the population are not there. And then finally, there's the other problem of fertilizer supplies and the price of fertilizer. So the Ukraine supply has effectively been wiped out from the global export market. So that's taken around 9% of the total volumes out. And that's having a massive impact on a lot of countries who bought their grain directly from Ukraine. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that we've talked about the specific problems in Turkey, Sri Lanka, Egypt, and Tunisia, who've all been badly affected by the loss of the Ukraine supplies. But it's not just Ukraine. Russia supplies around 24% of the global export market for wheat. And we've got major problems with those supplies also. Firstly, Russia introduced a ban on certain ex-Soviet countries, so all of those countries lost their supplies overnight. But more importantly, sanctions have been imposed against Russia, and these sanctions are wide-ranging. So firstly, a lot of financial sanctions were applied against the country, so the banking system and the SWIFT payment system are no longer available to Russia, and that's causing problems because countries can't make payments, and so they can't continue their trading relationship with Russia. But in addition to payment problems, sanctions have also been applied by a lot of the logistics delivery companies. So a lot of the big shipping entities no longer want to do any business with Russia. So even if Russia wanted to carry on doing the amount of trade that it's been doing historically, it simply wouldn't be able to find the volume of vessels to be able to fill up all the grain silos. But in addition to that, we've also got sanctions from countries who are stating they no longer want to buy things from Russia. And the problems in terms of the conflict in the Black Sea are also affecting Russia's ability to export the same amount of volumes. So we've got a variety of impacts on the Russian exports. So that means that volumes are down significantly. And this is now putting major strain on the global markets. India is the second largest producer of wheat in the world. However, historically, it has not sold a lot of that wheat in the international markets. It's preferred to build up its stocks and keep them in reserve in case of emergencies. India has a state-run entity called the Food Corporation of India, which buys wheat directly from all of the growers to make sure that those growers receive a decent price. And that wheat is then stored and used to feed poorer people in the country. And last year, the FCI purchased over 43 million tonnes of wheat directly from Indian growers. This arrangement often meant that the growers in India were receiving a higher price than the global market price, which meant that it was impossible for India to be able to export any of that surplus wheat. However, the recent rise in global wheat prices has meant that the international market price is now significantly above the price that the FCI will pay to growers. And that's meant that the international markets have now become more attractive for India. And this was seen as potentially being a really positive move for the international markets, because India would then be able to step in and make up some of the gaps that are now appearing in the global supply left by Ukraine and Russia. As a result of this change in dynamics, India exported 1.4 million tonnes of wheat in April and signed deals to export 1.5 in May. So if you annualise those figures, India was projected to export over 16 million tonnes of wheat over the next 12 months, and that compares to 7 million tonnes that India exported in the last financial year. However, those forecasts have now been hit by a variety of different factors. India has been experiencing a scorching heat wave, and the temperatures in March were the highest on record for 122 years. As a direct result of this heat wave, the forecast production levels for this year have now been reduced from 111 million tonnes to around 105 million tonnes. In conjunction with the rest of the world, India is experiencing high levels of inflation, and in April announced that inflation had got up to 7.8%, which is the highest level for 8 years. And the situation for food prices is even worse. It's now running at 8.4%. And to compound those problems, the value of the Indian rupee, the currency in the country, has fallen by around 4% since the start of 2022. So as a direct result of the rising cost of food and the reduction in the amount of production of wheat, the Indian authorities have now placed an outright ban on any wheat exports. And that's really bad news for the global markets, because we've now got a situation where one of the major suppliers who was going to fill the gap left by Russia and Ukraine is no longer playing in the international game. So let's talk about the forecast for projected wheat availability for the next 12 months. The world's wheat stock-to-use index looks at the amount of available stock compared to demand. And the latest figures show that the forecast level of wheat supply is the lowest for 15 years. We talked earlier about the top five exporters being Russia, Canada, USA, France, and Ukraine, and those countries make up around two-thirds of all wheat supplies. We've already discussed the supply problems experienced by Ukraine and Russia. However, the USA forecasts for hard red winter wheat production have now been reduced from 685 million bushels to 590 million, which is significantly lower than the 749 million in 2021. And will be the USA's smallest winter harvest since 1963. Growing conditions have not been ideal in the USA, and current rates of planting are the lowest since 2011. Canada had major problems with drought in 2021, and the harvest is set to rebound 50% from those low levels, although analysts are still watching the dry conditions and the pace of planting. France, which is the fourth largest exporter, is experiencing dry weather, which will have a negative impact on the amount of wheat it can produce. And a French ministry official stated that due to the absence of rain and particularly dry conditions, we now know that there will be an impact still to be determined on cereal production. So the increase in wheat prices and the shortages that we're seeing are now starting to cause major problems in a lot of countries around the world. If you follow the channel, you'll know that I recently reported on problems being experienced in Egypt and Sri Lanka and Tunisia and Iran. But there are lots and lots of other countries that are having simultaneous problems. United Nations agencies are warning that price hikes sparked by Russia's invasion of Ukraine will worsen a food crisis in Africa, where tens of millions of people have already been plunged into extreme poverty by the COVID-19 pandemic, armed conflicts, climate shocks, and economic turmoil. Last year, sub-Saharan Africa accounted for nearly two-thirds of the 193 million people considered to be acutely food insecure worldwide. Across Africa, food insecurity is on the rise. More than 2 million children are at risk of starving to death in the Horn of Africa, where parts of Kenya, Ethiopia and Somalia are facing their driest conditions in more than 40 years. Many vulnerable countries rely upon the United Nations World Food Programme, which buys half the wheat it distributes around the world from Ukraine. Rising food and fuel prices have increased its monthly operating costs by $71 million, a 50% rise since 2019. The World Food Programme faces double jeopardy. The costs are going up as the number of hungry people rise. Prior to the Ukraine war, the programme faced a funding shortfall that forced it to cut rations in 17 African countries, including Zimbabwe, Chad, South Sudan, and Ethiopia. And the gap has widened as donors turn their attention to the conflict in Europe. So once again, this highlights the fact that what's going on in Ukraine right now in Eastern Europe is having a massive impact on so many countries all around the world. These countries are already at the point where they're running out of food, but the hike in the price of wheat has really tipped them over the edge. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, the problems that we are currently experiencing with regards to food supplies and the price of basic items such as wheat is something that's been building up since the end of the pandemic. As we've come out of all of the lockdowns and the world has started to reopen, we saw the demand for everything increasing. And alongside that increase in demand, we saw an increase in food prices. So pressure has started to build over the last year or so on a lot of poor countries. But the invasion of Ukraine by Russia has really accentuated the problems. We have seen a huge jump in the price of a lot of food substances around the world. And wheat is the one I focused in on in this video because it's the most basic ingredient for a staple food substance for most of the world. And the problem is now twofold. It started being a financial issue because the price had gone up. A lot of countries couldn't afford it. But it's now become an absolute supply issue. Because we've lost the supplies from Ukraine and the amount being shipped by Russia has reduced significantly, we've now got gaps in the global supply chain. And India stepping into the breach by allowing some of its surplus to be exported was really going to help balance this global supply network. But unfortunately, the circumstances in India have led to the removal of those potential exports. We've got a triple whammy of a heat wave, a rise in inflation, and a fall in the value of the Indian rupee. And all of those factors have led the Indian authorities to now place that ban on wheat exports. So that means we're back to square one in terms of the amount of available wheat globally. And of course, when you get a situation like this, it has knock-on impacts. So the price of wheat is likely to go up even higher now because there is nobody to fill that gap that India was previously going to fill. And also, we may see other countries coming out and announcing similar bans. So Kazakhstan, which is the eighth largest exporter of wheat globally, recently announced that it was banning all wheat exports, and it's very possible that we could see other countries follow suit. And if we do see countries starting to take a nationalist perspective and protect their own population, then the situation could get significantly worse because a lot of countries are absolutely dependent on the import of wheat for the supply of food for their population. So if we see more bans and if we see a reduction in the amount of available wheat, then this could cause some major, major food crises and potentially hunger and starvation and death in a variety of countries. It will start in Africa, but it's not just contained to that continent. I've already posted videos talking about the impact on Sri Lanka and Turkey, but there are more countries that will also feel this pain. So unfortunately, what's happening now in Ukraine is having a major impact all around the world in terms of the availability of food. And food tends to be the trigger that causes people to protest, and we could see a lot of civil unrest starting to appear. We've already reported it in a variety of countries, and it's likely that that will escalate over the next month or so. So over the next 3 to 6 months, I think we are going to see major problems with regards to the price of all of these commodity items. That's going to fuel inflation further. High inflation means that interest rates will be increased. That's going to put more burden on people who've got debt all around the world. And this is all increasing the likelihood of a global recession kicking in during 2023. But alongside that global recession, we could also see global unrest. We could see riots. We could see change of governments as countries run out of food and we start to see the implications of that. So the wider global impact here might not be just a financial impact. We could see political impacts as a result of this war. So hopefully you found the information in today's video interesting, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, a very quick update on Joe Blogs 2. We are so close now, but we're not at that 4,000 hour mark yet. We are well into the 3,900 and something range, but I do need to ask you to please jump over to the channel, watch one or two of the videos, clock up a little bit more watch time, and then we'll get to that 4,000 hour mark. I can apply for the monetization, and then we're ready to start this experiment for real. And then I can start posting some more interesting updates as to what we're doing. So thanks for watching this portion of the video, and thanks for watching this whole video all the way to the end. I really appreciate it.